Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
Hello and welcome to this edition of World Weekly from the Financial Times. I'm Gideon Rachman. Today we're looking at political instability in Germany, where Angela Merkel is still struggling to form a new government. Why is it taking so long, and what happens if she fails? Joining me on the line from Berlin is our correspondent there, Guy Chazan, and here in London, opinion editor Fred Studeman. So, Guy, first of all, I gather we're talking at the, on, I think it's Thursday the 11th of January, and the coalition negotiations with the CDU, Mrs. Merkel's party, and the SPD have just begun. What do they need to thrash out, and what are their chances?
Well, the chances are quite good that they'll be able to sort of reach some kind of accommodation. The problem arises further down the line when, if they do enter official formal coalition negotiations and they come up with an agreement, that has to be put to the members of the SPD, all 400,000 of them. And a lot of people I'm speaking to are just really sceptical that the members will endorse it. There's tremendous reluctance to get into bed with Angela Merkel for another 4 years. It's extraordinary. The SPD really has a kind of allergy now to Ms. Merkel and the CDU, and it just seems to be getting worse with every day. Although the leadership has tried to move mountains and really sort of persuade the rank and file that it's worth doing this for another 4 years.
So let's look a bit closer at the SPD then. The demands that the leaders are making, in particular Martin Schulz, are very, very strongly federalist, aren't they, in the European sense. Do you think that they will get Mrs. Merkel to sign up to some of these demands? For example, I think Schulz has spoken of a United States of Europe by 2025.
No, I don't think there's much chance of that. I think there is a chance that they can come together on a few sort of policies regarding Europe. I was speaking to one senior person in the SPD who basically envisaged a kind of the Germans agreeing to a kind of investment fund for the Eurozone, which would go some way to responding in a way to Emmanuel Macron's very bold vision of European reform from September. Also possibly agreeing to something like a Eurozone finance minister, which is one of the things that the SPD wants. The SPD is much more bullish about really, you know, creating funds for investing in Eurozone countries. The CDU is much more sceptical about that. But there is a sense that they can come together on some sort of low common denominator, which would satisfy both sides. I mean, with the previous coalition negotiations, that would have been much, much more difficult because they involved the FDP, the Liberal Party, which is much more Eurosceptic. But really, the CDU and the SPD are sort of very pro-European, both of them. So the chances of them being able to agree on something are much higher than they were in the previous round of coalition negotiations.
And then yet, as you said, the next test is can they get those past the party membership? And you spoke of a kind of allergy amongst SPD members to this idea of going back into government with the CDU. What's causing this allergic reaction? Is it actual a visceral dislike for Mrs. Merkel or just a feeling that it's really damaging the SPD or a bit of both?
Well, the thing is, it's an ironic thing because in the last 4 years, the SPD really achieved a lot in government. It pushed through a minimum wage, which had been a long-standing SPD demand. They managed to get the early pensionable age of 63, which was another key SPD aspiration. So in social democratic terms, it was a very successful government for them. But they just felt that Merkel got all the credit and they didn't get any. And as a result, they they dropped to 20.5% in the election, which was their worst result since the West German state was founded effectively in 1949. So there is a real sense that it's just too damaging for them as a party to hitch their wagon to the CDU-CSU. I mean, I think in that respect, it's become a little bit irrational because... you know, I don't think necessarily being in opposition for 4 years will actually do them any good either. So perhaps being in government is the better option for the SPD.
Fred, let's look at some of the context for this. This long, long period to form a government is kind of unprecedented, isn't it?
It is, and it's something that quite a number of people have remarked on. I mean, not least the German president, Steinmeier, who, when he was having his official start of the year reception for foreign diplomats, referenced that quite explicitly and said, you know, this is unheard of in the history of the Federal Republic that it's gone on for so long. But then also sought to sort of calm any nerves or concerns about that by saying it doesn't mean that, you know, we can't get things done. But yeah, I think it's people who follow German politics for quite a while are quite surprised that, you know, we're in a situation where more than sort of, well, it's getting on for 4 months, it will be soon, that Germany hasn't got a new government, a new coalition worked out, and it's in the hands of a caretaker administration. Now, that said, you know, everything, I mean, Guy's will be a much better witness to this than I am, but as you know, the country isn't falling apart, everything sort of carries on. But I think one has to acknowledge that certainly internationally, there's a sort of absence there because certain German officials feel that they can't sort of, you know, they sort of have to sort of adopt more of a holding position and not sort of sign up for any big initiatives or even sort of introduce any big initiatives. And you're seeing, you know, look what's happened in recent days with President Macron going to China and really staking out a sort of European position vis-a-vis Beijing, and you know, almost you look to him now saying, is that the sort of prime voice in Europe? And that's something that, you know, traditionally all we've got used to, certainly in recent years, looking to Angela Merkel.
And you make the point that obviously life goes on as normal. Most Germans' ordinary lives are completely unaffected by the failure to form a new coalition. But is there form of malaise going on in the sense that the mainstream political parties no longer really command the political landscape in Germany, and that you've had the rise of the fringes, which is making it harder to come to some kind of consensus?
Yeah, I think you could say that. But I mean, I think there's another form of, if you want to call it malaise, but certainly a mood shift, which is quite pronounced, which is, you know, the end of the Merkel era is now, well, it certainly feels to be upon us. Now, this being Germany, this could take several years. I mean, it could take, you know, up until the next the time when the next elections would be due, which would be in 2021. But there's this feeling that this sort of all-commanding figure, or certainly my view is that this all-commanding figure of the Chancellor is now damaged, weakened, and that people are starting to look beyond her and say, well, you know, who is going to be the next leader in Germany? And I think that is certainly, to my mind, one of the issues that a lot of people I talk to in Germany are very concerned about, because there doesn't seem to be an obvious successor. And it just sort of, you just sort of feel there is this slight sort of drift that's taking place. There doesn't yet seem to be sort of a new force that it's establishing itself within the mainstream parties. I mean, there are obviously other developments you've referenced that, you know, are going on the fringes, which have certainly got some dynamism or energy about them.
And Guy, I mean, we talked about the role that the Europe debate has played in these current negotiations. What about the other big and possibly even bigger issue in recent years, refugees? How does that play into these coalition problems?
Well, to a certain extent, the refugee issue is actually less sort of toxic in these talks than it would have been in the Jamaica coalition negotiations with the Greens and the FDP, because the FDP was taking a quite a sort of hardline stance on refugees, and the SPD and the CDU essentially have a sort of consensual view on that. There's a few irritants, but mainly they're on the same page. I mean, they obviously were in the coalition that ran Germany over the last 4 years, which included the refugee crisis. Refugees is less of an issue. I think, in a way, one of the big issues is the fact that Germany just has so much money at the moment. It's just extraordinary. I mean, it has financial headroom of about 30 billion euros to spend over the next 4 years. Today, they announced that there was a surplus, a budget surplus of 38 billion euros. It's just extraordinary. They're just gushing money. And I think that, in a way, has made the coalition negotiations difficult because everybody wants to spend that money, but they can't seem to agree on how and on what. And in a way, it's actually, it's a nice problem to have, but you would have thought it would make the forming a government actually easier, but it hasn't. So, I mean, for example, the SPD wants to raise taxes and everyone's saying, you know, this is crazy. You can't raise taxes when there's an enormous budget surplus. So the CDU is sort of wringing its hands and over these sort of ideas. But I think the refugee issue is actually less of an irritant. I think in a way it's more things, very bread and butter issues like tax policy, like health policy, which are going to provide the big hurdles in these negotiations.
But just a footnote on the refugees. I mean, one of the things that happened in the elections was that the AfD, the far-right populist party, gained a big presence in the Bundestag. Have they made their presence felt yet?
Funnily enough, not really, no. I think it's partly because the Bundestag is also stuck in a bit of a holding pattern. They can't really form committees and so on because there's no government. It's very weird. It's like a sort of limbo land at the moment. But the one interesting thing is that if the SPD does join the government, then the AfD by default becomes the biggest opposition party in the Bundestag. And that would be a very significant development. In fact, a lot of people are in the SPD argue that they shouldn't join the government precisely for that reason, because they don't want to give the AfD a big voice in the country's parliament. They'll get all kinds of perks. They'll be able to become chairman of the of their budget committee, which is a very significant role in the Bundestag. So people really want to do everything they possibly can to suppress the AfD, which is going to be increasingly difficult if the SPD does end up in the government.
So, Fred, just to return to an idea you raised earlier and perhaps round off the discussion, I mean, you talked about the end of the Merkel era. If that is what we're seeing, is it simply a question of finding a new figurehead, if you like, or a new leader? Or is there did Merkel embody certain things which may now find that they're no longer in tune with the zeitgeist?
I think it's a bit of both. I mean, there is, you know, definitely a quest to find who is the, you know, the next leader of certainly of the Christian Democrats, and thus on current polling, you know, likely Chancellor of Germany. But I think that what some people have dubbed Merkelism within Germany, which is a sort of, you know, if you remember that phrase, triangulation, or sort of moving, you know, relentlessly moving to the middle and sometimes taking your opponent's policies off them. And Guy talked of some of the effects that's had on the Social Democrats in the last government. I think there's a feeling that may, you know, something needs to change. And I mean, certainly some of the people who are sort of staking out a claim to be the sort of face of the future within her party are doing it on a sort of more conservative, sort of, you know, traditional center-right platform of sort of saying, you know, it's that the edges are going to be a bit sharper, and we're going to have much sort of more definition around some policy issues, where the Chancellor was often not very distant from the Social Democrats or even the Greens, which was an issue that for a lot of CDU supporters became an issue of concern. I mean, I think that some of them just sucked it up, but I wouldn't be surprised if quite a few of them actually, as we saw, sort of went elsewhere.
So, Guy, just to conclude, bring this idea of the end of the Merkel era into focus. I mean, what kind of time frame are we talking about potentially?
Well, if the SPD membership votes against the coalition agreement, then all bets are off, really. I mean, essentially, there are two choices. Merkel could continue leading a minority government, or the president could then call new elections. Now, if new elections happen, Ms. Merkel has actually said that she would stand again, because she seems to be, and she's also said that she completely opposes the idea of ruling in a minority government. But a lot of people in Berlin believe that she wouldn't stand again, that the CDU would choose a different chancellor candidate, and that would be effectively the end of the Merkel era. So basically, we're going to be facing a very bumpy ride in the next few weeks. And essentially, no one really knows whether the SPD members will vote for this. As I said, you know, there's a real visceral feeling among party members that they just don't want another 4 years of Merkel, and they will avoid that at all costs.
So at the risk of underlining the obvious, I mean, what you're saying, in effect, is the SPD will vote on this agreement in the next few weeks.
Yes.
If they turn it down, Merkel could be out as German Chancellor within a couple of months.
Well, that's certainly one scenario, and it's the scenario that most people are modelling at the moment. I mean, if the agreement is voted down, that's the big if. But certainly all bets are off if that happens. That will plunge Germany into a new era of turbulence and uncertainty, and the odds are that the end of the Merkel era will then be in sight.
Okay, well, with that rather interesting thought, thank you very much indeed to Guy Chazan in Berlin and to Fred Studeman here in London. That's it for this week. Until next week, goodbye.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
Did you know the Capital Ideas podcast now has a new monthly edition hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin? Through the words and experiences of investment professionals, you'll discover who was their best mentor, what's a mistake they made that changed their approach, and how do they find their next great idea? Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Published by American Funds Distributors, Inc.